Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms this morning, please. Psalm 4. We're going to read the entire Psalm number 4. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 4 this morning, please turn there. And as you're finding your place there, would you please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. Psalm 4 this morning, beginning at verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only maketh me dwell in safety. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. How precious, how wonderful, even that passage in the Psalm number 4, as we read, challenging, comforting, encouraging. But God, we pray that you'd do a work in our midst today through the preaching of the Word of God from this passage. Please anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches this morning. Help us to be better Christians for being here today by applying thy truths. And then, Father, if there's one in this room that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, I pray today they would settle that at the invitation. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me ask you now to check your cell phones and make sure they are either turned off or to vibrate. If it goes off during the service, the health care bill they're voting on today, you're going to have to pay for that. So that's just you. We'll make sure it goes right to your house. And so help us there, would you, please? I'm going to ask that you sit real still and listen now very carefully, please. I'm going to talk to you this morning on a very simple thought or subject, but something that we all have to deal with, and many of us are dealing with right now today, and that's the word pressure. Pressure. Understanding pressure. It's the reason a lot of people are just on the verge of exploding all the time, because of pressure in people's lives. Whether it's financial pressure or pressure in their families and relationships, whatever the case may be, all of us experience it. A lot of people use the pressure of their life as an excuse to escape their responsibilities. Well, I was under such pressure. I had to do this. I had to do that. I had to go there. A lot of people use drugs and alcohol and things like that, escaping pressure. Others use other things, but they're escaping from it, thinking that somehow or another, if I can just get away from, boy, I'm under such pressure right now. If I can just get away from all this, then I'll be all right. So they have escapism and all forms and manner and types of escapism today to deal with the pressures of life. But here's the situation, and the wonderful reality is this. Everybody has to deal with pressure in life. Everyone does. Some of it's good pressure, some of it's not. Understanding why we experience pressure in our life and where it comes from and its source, and more importantly, listen now, and its reason will help us to handle it. Because, friend, I guarantee you this, you're either handling the pressure in your life or what's causing you pressure is handling you. We spend way too much time on the crisis side of our living. We get all this pressure on us in our lives. And there are a lot of people today who think it's, for instance, that it's wrong to put young people in pressure situations in their education or expectations of young people. And we follow that philosophy in America in a lot of different areas, especially public education, for a very long time. And because of that, we have a lot of young people who just do not know how to deal with things in life. Hey, folks, listen to me. Pressure turns a chunk of coal into a diamond. Pressure can be good. It can produce good qualities, good things. It can also break you and embitter you. Now let's get this also straight this morning. You can't run from pressure. You cannot escape it. Anything that gets you out of a pressure situation simply relieves that situation and it'll come down the road somewhere else. So we have to get off the escapism mentality. Well, I was under a lot of pressure, and so then it's an excuse. But then next time they experience a situation where there's pressure, then they run again, they escape again. They'll run from relationships, they'll run from people, family, they'll run off on their children, their spouse. They do all kinds of crazy stuff and have a reason. And most of the world, listen now, most of the world will pat you on the back and say, it's not your fault, you are under such pressure. These last few years in America, we're seeing people do horrible things, walk in office buildings and shoot people. And claim it was pressure that resulted this in their life. I was under this kind of thing, that kind of thing, etc. The other thing is stress, and I'm not going to deal with that this morning, but they're closely related. I want you to listen very carefully. It's a very practical, simple message this morning, but I want us to get this straight in our minds, understanding pressure in our lives. Now, where it comes from and why is very important. A lot of people today, they're missing the reasons behind the pressures in their life. And because they miss the reasons behind it, they're not dealing with the situation. And friend, if you don't handle the pressure of your life, it will handle you. It'll overtake your life. It'll wear you out, break you down. It'll make you embittered. It'll break your spirit. And again, we'll use it as an excuse to do foolish and stupid things with our lives. Concerning pressure, you need to understand this morning. There are two sources for pressure. Either God causes or allows pressure in my life. God uses that. I'll show it to you in the Bible in just a moment. Either God causes or allows pressure in my life, or I cause or allow it in my life. Two sources, that's all. Oh, Pastor Johnson, no, that's the work people. That's the people. It's my stinking boss. That's what my problem is. I wouldn't have pressures if it wasn't for my job situation. Oh, really? You're the only one in America experiences pressure in a job situation. It is not, listen, it is not the people of life and situations that brings pressure. Listen, I either allow pressure to come into my life or I cause it by my actions, or the God of heaven does. Now, that's the two sources for pressure. So if I can identify that, now I need to do this. Is this something God's bringing to my life for a purpose, for a reason, or is this something I have caused or I'm allowing in my life? Because again, look here, if we use the excuses to hide, well, it wasn't my fault. I was fine. Then so-and-so did. But then if you allow that person to put pressure on you, that's your responsibility. You don't live your life, and your life is not affected because of what someone else does unless you allow what they do to affect you. Are you clear about that this morning? Please understand this. Let's deal with the matter of God's pressure in our lives. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And verse 28. Hold your place in Psalm 4. I'm just going to refer to that. The reason we read Psalm 4 this morning is you're turning to Romans 8. The reason we read Psalm 4 is verse number 1. David's word for pressure was distress. Romans 8, please, this morning. David's word for pressure was distress. 9 times in the book of Psalms, David talked about being distressed in his life. And always by circumstances, situations, things that were happening in his life. But David was a man who knew his pressure situations. Romans 8, please, look there and then just look at me, please, a moment. When you stand in front of a 10-foot train-killing giant named Goliath and you're a teenager with a pocket full of rocks, I would call that a pressure situation. When you're chased by the king of your nation for unjust cause, King Saul, and you have to live in caves and dens of the earth and you have to hide yourself, I'd call that a pressure situation. When you become king, as David would do. And then his son Absalom took 40 years to raise a rebellion in his own nation. And then after 40 years of raising a rebellion, silently, as it were, behind his own father's back, Absalom came and chased his father from the throne and desired to kill his own dad. And when people came to him and told him how he could do it, he said, you know, that sounds good. Kill him. Now David's running again as a man who is now king. Now he knew his situations of pressure in his life. And from his examples of his life, we could draw great truths. But simply put, this is the case. And you can look at all the people of faith in the Bible. They all had times where they knew pressure situations in their lives. Some of them handled it well. Some of them were handled by the pressure of their life. But know this one more time. Either God causes or allows this pressure in my life for a reason, or I cause it or allow it. One or the other. Why would God want to put pressure on me? Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, very familiar verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, the Bible says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now look at verse number 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now notice these words, to be conformed to the image of his son. That expression, to be conformed, is an expression that means a potter working the clay. Have you ever watched someone do pottery work? You see how gently and careful they are with that lump of dirt? Nice wet clay, how so kind and gentle they are with their hands, and they prepare it so gently. They just touch it very lightly and they speak to it so kindly and say, please, dear lump of clay, would you jump into a mighty vessel for me? Isn't that the way they work? No. You know what they do? They take that lump of clay and they start pounding on that lump of clay. And they press it and they whack it and they thump it and they work it and they knead it with the hands. Then they put the right amount of water with it, and then they begin to spin the wheel, and then they begin to press that clay with the hands to form it and to shape it into a vessel. They are conforming the vessel, that lump of clay, into the image and the likeness of the mind of the potter. But they do it by pressure with their hands. You show me, shake hands with someone who works pottery, I guarantee you they got a grip on them like a soldier. They have mighty strong hands, because it takes that to put pressure on wet dirt to make it into a vessel that's usable. And whom he did foreknow, God. He also did predestinate, God, to be conformed to the image of his son. God puts pressure on us in our life to make us, to shape us, to mold us, to make us into the likeness of his son Jesus. Now friend, God's objective for you, once you become a child of God, his objective for you, me, and every child of God is that we become like Jesus. Look here. Jesus was perfect, sinless, pure, never sinned one time, never thought a wrong thought, never said a wrong word, never did anything with his hands, feet, or his body that he should not have done. He lived 33 homesick years on this earth and never sinned one time. And God is trying to press us into the likeness of a perfect man, God-man who walked this earth. Now, you're not going to do that without pressure. It's not going to happen. Now, here's how it works. God conforms us to the likeness of his son by using his word, the Bible, and the working of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And he puts pressure on us to conform us, to make us like Jesus. And as you watch a potter working the pottery, the clay on the potter's wheel, sometimes he'll come across an impurity and he'll take it out and then work it again. Sometimes he gets done, he doesn't like it. Puts it down again, starts all over and begins another process of things. But he keeps working that clay until he gets it to the vessel that he wants to make it. And it takes pressure to do that. God, ladies and gentlemen, our God, who loves us and wants us to be like Jesus, is going to put pressure on us to make us like his son Jesus. Now let me tell you something this morning. That's why it's interesting to me. People come from these churches today that put no pressure on them whatsoever. The whole program is laid back, sloppy agape, let it all hang out, baby, BB spit, name it, nothing, and hit it every Sunday religion. You know what I'm talking about? Man, you go there and they'll give you a little wing ditty, put on a little show for you, get up and send you home, and you feel good about what happened, but there's no pressure. And it's literally geared that way. The whole ministry is geared, no pressure. Smiley Osteen down in Houston. He'd smile all the time, just tell you everything's going to be fine and all's good and well and smile. That's all wonderful. Everything's good to go. You go to church, you get the music that you like to listen to. You get stuff like you listen to in the world. Everything is geared to not put any pressure on you. And then you make a mistake and you go to Shasta Baptist Church. And the preacher gets up and starts preaching the Bible. And all of a sudden, you feel like, wait a minute, they're trying to change something down there. Absolutely right. Only we're not trying to conform you to our image. We're trying to preach the Bible so God will conform you to the image of His Son. But that's going to take pressure. The man here came for some time before he got saved, trusted Christ. And after he came a few more Sundays, he quit coming. And here's his reason. There's too much pressure down there. Too much pressure. I want to just go to church. I want to just sit and listen. And I want to just get up and go home. But don't mess with my life, my living, my schedule, my conduct, my behavior, my attitude. Don't mess with anything about my life. Just leave me alone and let me do what I want to do. And let me go to church and get a little Jesus and get a little this and get a little that and get up and go home. But ladies and gentlemen, that is so contrary to the plan of God in our lives. Not only does He use the preaching and teaching of His Word and the work of the Holy Spirit, but God in our lives, our day-to-day lives, God is putting pressure on us to make us like Jesus. And it brings out impurities. Things show up that shouldn't be there. You know why? So the Master can remove them and take them out of our lives and change that thinking and change that attitude and change that way of talking and change that what we do with our lives. He's putting pressure on us. See, that's a good thing. Because we need a bunch of Jesus in this world today. A lot of Him and a lot less of us. Would you not agree? Don't you understand this morning? Pressure that comes from God in my life is pressure that He causes and allows to happen to make me like His Son Jesus. Pressure that I allow or cause, some of those pressures that are coming to my life because of Mike Johnson, it's not really pressure at all. We misidentify it. It's not pressure, it's conviction. The same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. When I will not yield to the working of the potter in my life, will then convict me about something and say, no, man, that thinking is not right and you know it. And what a lot of people are not understanding today, especially Christians I'm finding so many times, is that they're thinking the pressures of their life are because of finances or because of relationships or because, and it's just these pressures on me from all these different places in my life, when in reality it's not pressure at all, it's conviction. Because their life, they will not submit their life to the Word of God. Now, once you become a child of God, here's some great news. Once you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you are a child of God, you will always be a child of God, and there's nothing that can change that. You're there in Romans. Let me show that to you real quickly. Look at Romans chapter 8, and it says there in verse number 29, we read a moment ago, excuse me, it says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Look at verse 30. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified." Look, called, justified, glorified. Called is what happens when a person is lost. They hear the gospel. Jesus saves. You must trust Christ alone as your personal Savior to be saved. You put your faith and trust in repentance of faith. You trust Jesus Christ's payment alone for salvation. Not so you can live for Him, but so He can save you and give you the gift of eternal life. That's, God will call a person to their salvation. When they receive Christ as Savior, they're justified. The moment you trust Christ, God declares you as righteous in His sight. Then notice what it says. "And those who are justified," the Bible says, "they will be glorified." Oh. Glorification is that act that takes place when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That takes place at the resurrection, at the return of Christ. We are, but listen, if you are justified, you will be glorified. And between my salvation and that day when Christ calls me home, between there and then is my living. But my living does not affect the fact that if I'm justified, I will be glorified. Here's what it means. It means if you're saved, you're going to heaven, friend. He has given you eternal life, salvation that is secure and guaranteed by the fact that God said, if you are saved, you will be glorified. There is no sanctification between justification and glorification in that verse. Sanctification is the process whereby I live right. That's what you do as a Christian. That has nothing to do with your salvation. If you are justified, you will be glorified, friend. That's great news. Wonderful news. Saved, secure, so saved, friend. I can wrap a corn silk around you and swing you out over hell's fires and you can spit in the devil's eye while you sing Amazing Grace. I said saved this morning. Oh, yes. Now, here's the bad news. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're always a child of God. And that means the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you and He stays there. He never leaves. You can grieve Him and you can quench His working, but He never departs from us. God said, I will never, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now here's what happens. Here's a person who won't do what the Bible says. They won't submit to the work of the potter. And they think, you know what, if I just do it my way, I don't have to deal with all this stuff. Then I don't have to deal with feeling bad about my life not being right or anything else. I can just go do what I want. Problem. But when you leave the will of God, you don't leave the Holy Spirit. And He stays here and He convicts us. And much of what I see Christians experiencing pressure in their life over is not about pressure at all. It's about conviction because they won't do the right thing. See, look, that's why I said if we misidentify pressure in our life, and we say, well, I'm just having trouble with my finances. Now we rob God. We don't give the way we're supposed to give. We don't do the things with our money that we have that God gave us. We don't tithe like we should. We don't give like we should. Then we have nothing but financial problems. And we say, I'm under financial pressure. No, you're under conviction because you're not giving like you're supposed to give. Do you understand the difference? That went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. Do you understand the difference? Huh? I'm having problems in my relationships, Pastor Johnson. I just can't seem to get along with people. But I choose the wrong kind of people. I hang around the wrong kind of friends. I violate the principle of the unequal yoke of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I violate Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I violate the word of God in my relationship choices, and then I have nothing but trouble in my relationships and say I'm under pressure because I'm in this bad relationship. You chose the relationship. It's not pressure. It's conviction. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? See, we cause a lot of our pressures in life because we won't do what the Bible tells us to do. We want to know why don't I get victory in my life over habits and things that control my life? But why won't you do what the Bible tells you to do so He can give you the victory? Hey, you're not going to get it sitting home watching March Madness when you should be in church. If you skip what the Bible tells you to do, God, my friend, will have to step in and He'll bring conviction. But it's not pressure now, it's conviction in my life. So yield to, hey, it ain't rocket science, friend. You just yield to the Lord and do what the Bible tells you to do. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, the Bible says, whose mind is stayed on thee. There's so many times in my life I think, man, I'm under so much pressure right now in my life. And then I begin to look at the reasons for the pressure, and I'm thinking, well, that's because I did something I shouldn't have done. And, well, I shouldn't have done that, and there, now I created a situation. Look at me. And then it's like a whirlpool. It just starts to suck us down. And we think, boy, I can't get out of this. Yes, you can. Step up and do what you're supposed to do. Follow what the Word of God tells you to do. It's not going to make all pressure go away. All pressure is not bad. I said that before. I'll say it again. But much of the pressure in our life is the result of the fact we won't do what the Bible tells us to do. And it's really not pressure. It's conviction. And the Holy Spirit's trying to get us to work. And by the way, that's still a good thing. That means we're a child of God and He's working on us. Now go to 2 Corinthians with me to chapter 4. But you know, sometimes pressure comes in our life and it's not because of sin. Sometimes pressure comes in our life because we cause it by living the Christian life. Now here's going to encourage you to do right here. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please, and look with me to verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look with me at verse number 8. Apostle Paul's used of God here to pen this particular book. He must have been an athlete in his life, because Paul used so many athletic terms in his expression. Most all this, we'll read in verse 8 down to verse 10. All this stuff he's talking about is all things that refer to boxing, wrestling, an athletic contest. But look at 2 Corinthians 4:8. Look what he says. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down is a great expression. It means held down, but not pinned, like in a wrestling match. When I played football in high school, our conditioning coach wanted us to go out for wrestling because it was right after football. And he said, you're already in fairly decent shape, and go out for wrestling. And I thought, I don't know. First of all, those outfits they wear, I'm thinking, Secondly, I got in there, went to one practice, and the coach had us do some practice holds. That boy grabbed me in a couple of situations, and I thought, no, this ain't a wrestling match. This is a fighting match now, because you ain't ever going to handle me like that. But it means held down but not pinned. Now look here, and he says, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. These Corinthian Christians, they were troubled on every side, persecuted, cast down. All trouble, right? Pressure. You know why? Because they were living for God. But wait a minute. Look at it again now. Follow carefully. Troubled on every side, no hope. It doesn't say that, yet not distressed. Perplexed, that means questions. Things we just don't understand. $950 billion health care bill. I don't get it. They don't either, unfortunately. Perplexed, scratching our head and wondering, well, I don't know. The Bible says, but not in despair. For every negative he mentions in those verses, there's a positive to lift the troubles. See, sometimes you will have pressure in your life because you live for God. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You stand up for Jesus Christ in your life, and you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble with people who don't understand. And half of them are Christians, and I don't understand what their problem is. But they will. They'll say, why don't you do this? Why do you do that? I don't understand this. What is this all about? And around us, sometimes we're going to get trouble on every side. We're going to have perplexing times in our lives that we just don't have answers for. There'll be struggles and difficult. Listen to me. And there'll be pressures that are brought just because you did the right thing. Well, preacher, I mean, if I have trouble for doing the wrong thing and trouble for doing the right thing, what's the point of doing the right thing? I might as well just go ahead and do wrong. No, because for every trouble that's brought in your life and pressure that's brought on your life because you're a child of God, there is God there with grace and strength and help to lift the load and help you do what you're supposed to do. That's why he says, troubled but not distressed, perplexed, not despairing, persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. He said, pinned, but they couldn't hold me down. Got back up again. Just man falleth 7 times, but rises up again, Proverbs 24:16. You see, sometimes my life, I'm going to cause pressure in my life because I do right in a world gone wrong. Now, you can either give into that if you want to, friend. You can roll over and play dead and let the world make a welcome mat out of you, and I guarantee you'll be very sorry you ever did that. Because the same world that'll walk on you is the same world that'll walk off on you too and leave you alone when they're done with you. But when I, as a child of God, I do the right thing, it brings pressure in my life. Well, there he is again. Now watch. And there's the potter saying, just hang on, son. I'm going to shape you a little bit here in this area of your life. But I'm not forsaken, and I'm not in despair, and I may have trouble on every side, but I got a God who stands there with me. And guess what? You can live in the middle of the pressure cooker of life and still have peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. All those things the Holy Spirit produces in our life. Hey, they are great pressure killers. You have to have a pressure relief. You either go out and kick a dog, punch a hole in a wall, run up a mountain, go shoot something, go do something. You have to get some kind of pressure release. But those things are just temporary. Well, I'll go out and buy something. Yeah, that's it. I'll go buy something. That'll make me feel better. Then the bill comes. You got more pressure. Then you walk in the garage and you already have 4 of those. And your wife says, why'd you buy another one of those? You go, more pressure. We make bad choices, more pressure. We go against the Bible, more pressure. We keep thinking, well, what's this all about? You're causing it by doing wrong. But preacher, if I do right, pressure. Yeah, but then he shapes you and make you like Jesus. And he's there to help you and to lift you and to strengthen you. You get your Bible out and you say, dear Lord, today I'm up against it in some areas of my life. Would you please help today? And the God in heaven who hears you, who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And that which makes people pace the floor at night and toss and turn in their bed, the Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. And you go to bed at night and you leave it at the throne of grace where you've obtained mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you lay it at the feet of the Almighty God who can fix anything, correct any problem, straighten out any crooked path, lift up any valley, knock down the mountain tops, and he'll help you and strengthen you and encourage you. And the pressure, my friend, you have a pressure relief, but it's God who does that. Instead of just living in a pressure cooker and then making more bad choices and more pressure, and it's not pressure, it's conviction. He's trying to get you right about some things in your life. Hey, friend, David said, in my time of distress, I called unto my God, and he enlarged me. I like that expression. He enlarged me. Oh, you skinny people, read that. He enlarged me. That's right. When you're under pressure, God will make you fat. He'll make you big because he'll enlarge you. More area, space to work with. No, that's not what that means. But it sounds good. Truth is, it means he gives you wider shoulders than you need. He gives you a bigger heart. He gives you a greater peace. It means he enlarges the capacity of your life. So guess what? Look here. Pressure is created by constricted small spaces. You enlarge the space, you relieve the pressure. God says, you call unto me, and I'll enlarge you. I'll enlarge your space, your place. Twice in Psalms, David makes this reference. Friend, you either handle pressure or pressure is going to handle you. And here's what we're happening, and we're finished. I see people in pressure situations in their life and it hardens them. Or instead of making them a diamond, it just hardens them. They become bitter and resentful. And yet, vast majority of their situation, they created by their own actions. And it's not God working against them, it's God working on them, and they just won't yield to this thing. Hey. And then I watch these dear souls. I watch them through the furnace of affliction in their life. I watch sometimes when God turns the heat up and I think, dear Lord, I don't know if they could take any more than what they're already experiencing in their life. But Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And God's purifying their life. And the potter's making a vessel of honor. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.